All right, John 6. In our text today, we're witness to a departing of people from Christ. There were disciples there that were hearing their Lord speak, and they heard him declare the gospel. They heard him declare the gospel, and they were offended at his word, and they left. They left the Lord. They departed from the Lord and his people. Now, these weren't Pharisees. They're not scribes. They're not even described as often is as being the Jews when we see people hearing the Lord and being offended by what he was saying and being contrary to what the Lord was saying. These were disciples. They were disciples. It says in verse 60, many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, "This is an hard saying. Who can hear it?" In verse 66, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. By disciples, it means that they're learners. They're there to hear from Christ. They have a favorable disposition toward Christ as opposed to the Pharisees and the scribes and those Jews that resisted him. What I want to look at this morning with you is to answer these questions. What were they offended by? And why were they offended? Because Christ describes, he tells us why they were offended. And then we'll see the witness of Christ's true disciples, the witness that he bears in his people, revealing that they are his children. I've titled this, Christ Preserves His Disciples. Christ preserves his disciples. And so let's begin here with this offense. We're told in verse 59 where Christ was speaking these things. It was in the synagogue, and he was teaching them in the synagogue in Capernaum. And in response to what our Lord was saying, verse 60, many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, "This is an hard saying. Who can hear it?" They were offended by what Christ said, and that's why it was hard for them to hear it. It was hard to them. It came to them as a difficult thing that they couldn't bear. They just couldn't hear it and receive it. Did Christ do something wrong? Did he do something wrong in what he said? Was he wrong? Or did they hear it with an offense? What our Lord was saying that was so offensive to his disciples is he was plainly declaring the truth of the gospel to them. He was plainly declaring the truth of the gospel to these men. He spoke concerning himself. He spoke of his kingdom. He revealed salvation in Christ. He revealed his salvation, his sovereignty, his glory before these people, and they heard it and couldn't receive it. They were confused by it. They were offended by what he said because they didn't have the Spirit of Christ whereby to hear it. The Spirit didn't interpret it for them. The Spirit didn't reveal it to them and give it to them. And so they were confused and they were offended by his doctrine. And so offended were they that many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Let's see these four things that the Lord brings out here that got them so offended. First, look at verse 37. What he's saying here is that God has a chosen people, a people that Christ will save. God has a chosen people whom he'll save. Verse 37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Christ isn't driving them away. The Father brings them to Christ, and he receives them and draws them to himself. Verse 40, and this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Our God shall lose none of his people. He'll lose none of his children. All who are his shall come to him, and he saves them to the end. They're his. They cannot be lost by Christ. Second, our Lord declares God's divine sovereignty in saving whom he will. It's his sovereign, divine choice. He's God. He can do as he pleases. Look at verse 44. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. The third thing that they were stumbling over is that Christ declared his deity. He is God. He is of the Father. He has the authority to say the things that he's saying. Look at verse 46. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God. Christ is of God. He hath seen the Father. He's of God. He is God. He was with the Father in the beginning, and he is God. He said earlier in verse 38, I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. He came from the Father. The Father sent him. He saw the Father. He was with the Father. He is one with the Father. And fourth, Christ declared that they must feed upon him. They must eat his flesh and drink his blood for their very life. Look at verse 53 and 54. Then Christ said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Our Lord is declaring that his disciples have faith in him. He's speaking of a complete faith upon which we lean upon the Lord, rest in the Lord, fall completely in his arms. It's a complete salvation. He's all our salvation. Without him, we have no salvation. And many of his disciples heard him and judged him according to fleshly judgment. They judged him as the flesh judges a man. They didn't like what they heard, and so they judged him. They didn't hear the spiritual truth in what Christ was saying. They didn't hear the spirit of what Christ was saying. They didn't try to understand what Christ was saying. They became offended and went away. And this brings us to our second point. The Lord tells us why it is that man cannot hear the gospel. Why it is that he will not hear the gospel. Though it's true, though it's spiritual, though it's of the Lord and spoken by the Lord himself, why is it that men cannot hear the gospel? Well, we know that the hearing of Christ's word, it was too much for them. They called it an hard saying and asked, who can hear it? And what they're saying there is, if I can't hear it, no one can. Who can hear it? If I can't hear it, no one can hear it, because I'm a pretty good judge of what the truth is. If I can hear it, then other people will hear it. But if I can't hear it, no one can hear this. And they departed. And Christ, before they departed, took that time to explain in their presence why it is that they could not hear him speak, what he was saying. He gives us a reason why they departed before they even left physically. Verse 61. When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you? doth this offend you? And he's telling us they were offended. They were offended. What they heard offended them. They didn't like what they heard. And the reason is because Christ declares that the work of salvation is a finished work. Our Lord's salvation is complete, full, finished in him. Our God is satisfied with his children. What Christ did, what he accomplished, is all of our salvation and needs nothing more from us. Look at verse 62. What and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? Our Lord is speaking of his ascension glory. When our Savior was on the cross, when he went to the cross to put away the sins of his people, he said from the cross, "It is finished." He made satisfaction there on the cross for his people. The work is finished. And when God raised him from the grave, it declared to us, it bore witness to us that God is satisfied. Holy justice is satisfied with his people. The law has nothing more to say to you, child of God. You are under the blood, under the grace of Jesus Christ, and your God receives you. And Christ ascended up to the throne, to the right hand of the throne of his Father, and it declares to all that it is finished. God is satisfied with his people. There's nothing more that our flesh can add to the work of Christ. And that's confusing to man. When man hears that salvation is already complete in the Lord Jesus Christ, it's confusing because he's wondering, how can that be? I didn't give any input into this yet. I haven't agreed with God yet that Christ is my Savior. How can it be that the work is already finished? Don't I need to give my stamp of approval? Don't I need to say that I agree and that I want Jesus to be my Lord and Savior? How is it that a sinner is saved unless he does something? He's got to do something. Doesn't he have to make a decision for Jesus? Doesn't he have to believe before Christ can save him? And our Lord answers this question in the next verse, verse 63. He says, it's the Spirit that quickeneth. It's the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. It's all in God's hands. Your flesh adds nothing to the work of Christ. The words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Our Lord is declaring the truth that salvation is all accomplished in him. And therefore, anything necessary is already determined and shall unfold according to the will and purpose of God. Unfold from our perspective. We'll see it. We'll see the hand of the Lord because it's his work. He's doing it. He cannot fail. So our Lord isn't waiting for man's decision. He's not waiting for man to accept Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. That's how this world's religion speaks. That's how the ignorant, depraved man thinks that God saves him. It's according to his decision, his faith, what he does or doesn't do with this knowledge of Christ. But the reality is man's choice left to himself. Man always rejects the Christ of God. Man left to himself always rejects the salvation that God has provided for his people. He doesn't like a sovereign Savior. He doesn't need a sovereign Savior. He can save himself. All he needs maybe is a little help, but he's got it. He'll take care of it if he wants to be saved. But the Lord shows us that no man comes to him. He said, "You will not come unto me that you might have life." John 5:40. That the natural man will turn to Christ, but it'll be a false Christ. It'll be a Christ that needs him, that needs some part of him fulfilling something on his part for his salvation. But our Lord says, that's not how I save my people. It's the Spirit that quickeneth. It's the Spirit that quickeneth. The Spirit gives life to the dead sinner. And by the Spirit's work, that born-again creature shall hear the voice of the Son of God. That born-again creature, that creation of Christ, shall see the Son of God and believe on him by that God-given faith. God gives the faith. He works that faith in whomsoever he will, and he brings out that faith that looks to Christ. He gives that hope, that joy, that peace in the Lord Jesus Christ. As we read in Ephesians 2:8, by grace are ye saved through faith. And that faith, not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Additionally, our Lord says in verse 64 that this salvation, it's already ordained of the Father. It's been ordained. It cannot fail. It cannot fall short to accomplish that which Christ has already succeeded in doing. He's already redeemed his people, purchased them with his own blood. They shall never fall short of the will of God for them, that they should hear and believe on the Son of God. They shall believe. He says in verse 64, there's some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. There are some that won't believe, meaning he also knows them that will believe because he's accomplished their salvation. Our Lord has a people whom he loves, whom he chose before the foundation of the world. And his scriptures bear this truth out. He says in Acts 13:48, as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. As many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And then in John 10, verse 26 and 27, he says, but you believe not because you're not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. His sheep follow him. His sheep shall hear. And those that don't hear and don't believe, it's because they're not his sheep. And so he continues in verse 65. He said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me, except it were given unto him of my Father. Salvation is the free gift of our God, and he gives it to whomsoever he will. Salvation is not something that man does for God. It's not something that he does to get himself saved. Salvation is of the Lord. It's what our God does to save his child. It's what our God does to save his people. And what the Lord does in the salvation of his people, it's all revealed to them in divine revelation. He gives it to his people by the Spirit through regeneration, giving us life where there was no life, bringing truth out of, bringing life where there was only death, where there was nothing to believe God. He gives life, and he gives life by his seed, by the seed of Christ, giving life in his child, that in the inner man, the new man that looks to Christ, that hears the Spirit, that believes him. His people hear him and they come to him. And if all Christ's sheep come to Christ and believe on him, what does that mean then for these disciples, these that are called disciples that are there listening to Christ? What does it mean for them when we read in verse 66 that from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him? They left the preaching of Christ. They left off hearing from him and went back to their old form of worshiping God. They went back to an old form of worshiping God in the law, in the synagogue, in slaying of animals to put away sin, and trusting a man as the high priest to put away their sin. They went back to that which they did in spiritual ignorance and in darkness. They departed from the Lord. And that was really, that was a major trial in the church that day. That was the first significant trial for the church, because a lot of the disciples left. It says many of his disciples, many who confessed Christ, left and went back and walked no more with Christ. They were happy with the miracles, but they didn't want a master. They were happy with him healing their sick. They were glad and rejoicing in the thought of an earthly Jewish kingdom being established. They liked that, but a sovereign Savior declaring that salvation is all of the Lord, that he must save his people, and that apart from him they have no life, that they couldn't hear. They couldn't bear with it. And this defection verifies the truth of what Christ is saying. He said in verse 63, "It's the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing." And men today still trust in their flesh to add something to the work of the Lord. We've got, the Lord's teaching us that it's all of him. It's all of him, and apart from him, we can do nothing. They were proving that they were all flesh and no spirit. All flesh and no spirit. As Christ said in verse 65, "No man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father." When they were pressed to eat the flesh of Christ and to drink his blood, it was revealed that they had no will and no faith to believe Christ. They didn't trust him. They weren't hearing him speaking to them as Lord. They were hearing him speaking to them as a good man, a man who could do miracles, but they didn't believe him according to his word that he is the Lord, sent from heaven, sent from the Father to say these things, to declare these truths to us, and to put away the sin of his people and bring them unto himself. Now this brings us to the third and final point, the witness. Though we see that many departed from the Lord, the happy truth is that none for whom Christ died, none of his disciples, none of his true disciples can depart from the Lord. If Christ purchased you, you cannot leave him. And our Lord bears witness in his chosen saints, in his people, they shall confess him and they shall continue in Christ. They're not going to be able to depart from him. And the way he does it here is he proves his disciples with a question. He asks a question, and it's their response that reveals that they're children of grace. God's grace is working in them. God's grace is revealed in them. They're drawn by the Father. Look at verse 67. "Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will ye also go away?" And our Lord is revealing to us that true believers can never quit the Savior. They can't quit the Savior. They're special objects of his love. Now, we have a lot of doubt in us. We have unbelief in this flesh. There's much unbelief, much doubt, much worry, but our Lord is the one that preserves his people. We're not preserved by our strength. It's not our grip holding on to the Lord. We're preserved by the grace of our God in his Son, Jesus Christ. We're in the eternal covenant of God's grace for us. He established it in the blood of his Son. We're saved by him and his mercy. These disciples, they were tested in seeing such a multitude depart from them. But Peter answered in verse 68. Look at verse 68 with me. He said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? To whom shall we go, Lord?" And that testimony right there you see in Peter is he calls him Lord. He's Peter's Lord. What he speaks is truth. Whether Peter understands it all right then and there, doesn't matter. That's not the point. He trusts Christ. He believes this is the Christ. Lord, who are we going to go to? Who else has life that we can turn to? Where else can we go? We don't understand everything, but one thing we do know is our God is in control. He's ruling and reigning and controlling all things and doing all things for our good. He says, he asks, Lord, to whom shall we go? Lord, you alone are salvation. There's no work that we can turn to. There's no work that we can do to purge ourselves of our sin. There's nothing we can do to please our God or work this salvation for ourselves. Lord, there's no one else that we can turn to. There's no other Christ coming. You alone are the Christ sent of God. Your flesh, Lord, is meat indeed, and your blood, Lord, is drink indeed. You are the fullness of our salvation. We have nothing apart from Christ. And by faith, we're kept feeding upon him for our life. He's made more necessary to our bodies than food itself. He's more of our sustenance than food is our sustenance for these bodies. To whom shall we go is the believer's response to departing from the Lord. And by his Holy Spirit, we understand thou hast the words of eternal life, Lord. Right? The Spirit shows us that we're coming to a person. We're coming to Christ. We need him. There's not salvation in our works. There's not salvation in our form of religion. We're coming to Christ. We're coming to Christ. He alone has the words of eternal life. When he speaks, Lord, we live. We hear, Lord, we live by you. Apart from you, we're spiritually and eternally dead. And Peter continues in this witness being born out in him, verse 69, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. The witness that our Lord bears in his children is faith before sight. We believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. The will of the many disciples that departed from him, they asked in verse 30. They said, what sign showest thou then? What sign do you show, Lord, that we may see and believe? Right? These disciples that left Christ, they wanted to see something first. They needed to see it proved out with their eyes before they believed. Whereas Peter said, Lord, we believe and are sure. We believe you. We hear your word and we believe you. We know that you're the Christ. We're confident of this very thing. The witness of the Spirit in his people says, we believe and are sure. Whereas the witness of the many is, show us a sign. Show us a sign first, Lord, and then we'll believe you. We've got to see some things before we can believe. We don't need to see first. We believe our Lord, who is our salvation, who says, I've chosen you. I've drawn you to myself. I love you. I've provided your whole salvation. Everything is ordained by me. Everything you need is all provided by your God, your Lord. You shall not be lost. What more do you need? He's given us assurance. He's sent his Son and spared him not. He shed his own blood to put away our sin and declares to us, your sin is put away. You're mine. You shall never be lost. I shall return and raise you up at the last day. We believe, Lord, and are sure. The psalmist in Psalm 27, verse 13 said, I had fainted unless I had believed to see. Unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Psalm 27, verse 13. So we read that from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. But our Lord is saying, he'll never lose one for whom he died. He'll never lose one of his children for whom he died. You know, Peter denied the Lord three times. Peter denied the Lord three times, and the Lord restored Peter. In John 21, verse 3, he records where Peter said, "I go a-fishing. I'm going fishing." And the disciples, there were disciples there that went with him, that said, "We also go with thee." And they went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. There in the night they caught nothing. The Lord didn't bless their departing from him. He called them to himself, and they went. They went back to their old ways. They went back to fishing. And the Lord had called them to be fishers of men, to follow him, to trust him and believe him as their Lord and their Savior. But even though they departed, he graciously went out. He sought them, and he restored them completely. He restored them to his body, and he used them mightily in the kingdom of God. Our Savior shall lose none for whom he died. He'll lose none for whom he died. The children of God, those for whom Christ shed his blood, can never apostatize from Christ. They can't leave him. They cannot leave him. Turn over to Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10, and we'll go to verse 35. And we'll read down from verse 35 to verse 39 together. Hebrews 10:35. "Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul." Many leave because the gospel offends them. Regardless of what excuse they give, many leave because the gospel offends them. But if they're the Lord's, they can never leave the Lord. They shall never leave him, and they shall never be lost, because Christ has provided for them. He shed his blood. He seeks out his people. He draws them to himself, and he'll put them in his kingdom and use them in his kingdom according to the will and purpose of God. We're told from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. But all the true disciples of Christ are preserved in Christ. They shall never be lost. They're fixed in him. They will not depart, and they will not apostatize from Christ. And that's a good comfort for us who have unbelief and doubt in this flesh and struggle ourselves with worries and fears. The Lord has provided, and none shall be lost. They're his people, and he shall not lose them.